Okay, this morning we'll be in the book of Jude. What chapter?
Only one. Which verse?
Yep, first chapter. First verse. Okay. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withers without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you where should there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up your faith in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and of others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. It's a little tiny book like this, but has a whole bunch of good stuff in it. Okay, if we go back to this first verse and do it, start there and just go through and see what we can find. There's a lot of surnames to people, and Jude is a surname. I'm going to go through the list of them, and I'm not going to chase it all down, but I'll let you do that on your own. His name was Jude here, but he's surnamed from the name Judah, okay? Judas, which also goes into John, was another name. Thaddeus, Labius, but it equals out to the grace of God, which we know grace is what? Divine influence in the heart of man and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. And it started in John 14, the Gospel of John 14, 22, where he was surnamed, okay? And it also is in Luke 6:16, and Acts 1 and 13, okay? But as it goes ahead and says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, literally it's a slave, it's a love slave of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. James' original name is not James, that's English. Jacob was his name. Okay? Brother of Jacob. To them that are what? Well, it says sanctified by God here, but it's not. It should say called, or that... Where am I at? I missed my place. They're loved. It said they are not sanctified, but loved. The word sanctified should be loved. Okay? It's agapeo. It's a form of love, the word of love. They are loved not by God, but they're loved in God. The word by there is the Greek word en, which means in. And the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And it shouldn't say it that way. In the Greek, it's not presented that way. It should say, starting with the word and after Father, it should say the called and preserved in Jesus Christ. Okay. The called and preserved in Jesus Christ. You're called in Him, and if you're in Him, you're preserved in Him. Nobody can get you. Didn't He say if He calls you, He'll sanctify you? Same thing. Right there again. You're loved. Verse 2 goes on to say, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. If God's giving you mercy and grace and peace and love multiplied, what would you have to worry about?
Got it covered.
You're covered everywhere you're going. That's the thing people are not convinced of, that God truly loves them. They hear the words and they hear the preachers tell them God loves you, but do they really believe that God loves them?
How could you?
You're condemned. See, so that's not love. And the people are aware that that's not love, but they don't know what love is. And I know you've all heard me say this, that when Lois and I got married, I didn't love her. I was in lust with her. But until God loved me and I knew that God loved me, I did not have the capacity to love back. Okay? The book says we love Him because He first loved us. And so until I learned how that much God loved me, I couldn't love anybody else. And everybody else is in the same position. They can say the word, I love you, but to honestly love somebody, you could be dedicated to the person, you could be everything in the world teaches about love and what they understand, but it's still not the love of God. Because the love of God is no strings attached. There's nothing in any shape or form that can tear that down. The love of God cannot be destroyed, can it? See? And that's the love that we're talking about. It's not about just saying, I like you. I don't phileos you. See? You're my friend. No, I love you. And love is an unconditional love. God's love doesn't have any boundaries. Doesn't have any strings attached to it. Period. It's God's love. And you can't tear it down. You can't destroy it. So once you find out that that's the love that God has for you, and you got to know it by experience. I can't tell you about it. I can tell you my experience, but you still have to have that experience yourself. And when you have that experience, I'm going to tell you, the world has no draw with you no more. The love that God has, there's nothing the world has that can even come close to enticing you back. Oh, something just hit my mind. Psalms. What is that psalm? 119. Got it. Just come in. Let me read you something God gave me out of this verse in Psalm 119, verse 165. In the King James it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's what King James says. Now here's what God gave me as I read this years ago. It just popped back in there. "Abundant health, prosperity, and peace have they which have a strong and emotional desire to possess and to be in the presence of God's direction, teaching, and instruction. And nothing exists, no stumbling block, no obstacle, no enticement or idol that could cause them to fall away from God." That's a mouthful. But until you experience that, you can only talk about something. But you can't. When you can experience this, I'm going to tell you, your life is never going to be the same. It's totally different. Okay. I didn't know I was going there.
God is the only one that's truly faithful.
Yeah.
So and
if you have God's love, then you're truly faithful, period. There's nothing to it. There's no discrediting that in any way. I think I was getting ready to hit the third verse. "Beloved, I gave all diligence." That word diligence is "I gave all speed." In other words, I did it quickly. "To write to you concerning," not of, but concerning, not the common faith, but our common faith. The word "the" is not a definite article like they have it made out to be here, but it's the word haemon in the Greek, and it means our, O-U-R. See, our common faith. And when people, and I've heard people preach on this for years and say the common faith, but when I saw that word "the" was a mistranslated word, it changes the whole meaning. Our means we got something in common here, right? Our common faith. Like we have the same thing going on here, right? And it says the common salvation. Well, it's not a common salvation. It's literally, it's something shared by all is what that word means. Common means shared by all. And the salvation they're talking about is not salvation. It's a deliverance. He's not talking to the whole world. Didn't Jesus say, "I will never speak to the multitudes except in parables"? Because he doesn't want them to know the truth just yet. It's his plan. He's got a purpose behind it. Do we know what it is? Nope. It's none of my concern. I'm not the boss. I'm just doing what I'm told. Okay? But it's deliverance. It means to be delivered from something. The whole world was saved when he died on the cross. Is that true? Technically, it was before the foundation of the world, but we can let it go there. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But once that was done, everybody was, quote, saved. But this word, soteria, soterios, and soteria, there's three different words. They're a noun, a verb, and a compound verb. They're just three tenses of that same word. And they talk about saved, being saved, or going to be saved, or something. And that's not what it means at all. Because the context of that word, since we were already saved before the foundation of the world, why would we have to go through it again? He didn't do it right the first time? Come on. But it's delivered. We've got to be delivered from the way we think as a natural human being, from that into the mind of Christ. And everybody knows that this book says we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. So it's part of that process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It takes years to understand these things, because you can't build a wall just like you're going to build your house out of block. You can't just put it all up in one day. You can get a bunch of block letters and lay it all up. But by the next day when you come back, those walls will be all contorted and warped and everything, because it's green mortar. You've got to temper each level in. It's the same thing with everything God lets you see. You've got to temper it in with experience and time, And when that's set up right, where it can hold in just like it's part of the foundation, just as solid as the foundation, you can put another course on top of it. You can't get in a big hurry. You can't just run in and grab a hold of it like everybody wants today, a quickie meal. You just grab it and run. You know, I'll take care of it later. You can't do it that way. You got to do it the way He prescribes it. Okay. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all speed to write to you concerning our common or our shared by all deliverance, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend." And literally, earnestly contend is not really a good saying it right. It said, earnestly contend with the adversary for the faith once delivered to the saints. Now, earnestly contend with the who? The adversary. Okay, now notice what it says. It didn't say adversaries, did it? It should say the earnestly contend with the adversary for the faith. Now, the only adversary you have, what is it? It's your own thinking process. That's the thing He wants you delivered from. Okay. So when you realize it's not some devil with a pitchfork or something like that that the church has made up in these fairy tales they tell, it's about my own thinking, the natural way of doing it. If man was made with the natural ability to be like God, and Adam lost that in the garden, don't you understand we've got to get rid of what we think and go back to what it was in the beginning? Because see, our beginning was not in Adam, it was in God. And then in Adam, all what? All die. Well, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. So we got to get back the other direction, back to where we was from the beginning. And it says, which was delivered to the saints. Was once delivered to the saints. When was it delivered to the saints? No. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, or in the first fruit, God made the perfect God-man. And He said to them, He said, do what? Don't let me misquote that. Make me go back and look at it. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And literally it should say, God created the perfect God-man. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, or ignorance was on the mind of humanity. And God said, let there be light. And there's when He transferred that knowledge into the first fruit. Not Jesus, one man, but the many-membered body of Christ. That's when this took place. And He put the light in there before man even knew. Not in the beginning, but in the first fruit. And it didn't put a time period on that. Could have been before the foundation of the world. It could have been any time. But it was way back there. It was put in. Before we was ever as human beings on the face of the earth. He gave us understanding a long time ago. And now we're not trying to learn anything. What are we doing? We're remembering what He already wrote in our heart. It's that simple. It all goes together. In verse 4 it goes on and says, because there are certain man-faced people. What would that mean? Naturally minded people that have crept in, or they lodge stealthily in unawares. Okay? The ones who were before of old ordained to this what? Not condemnation. It acts like they're going to go to hell, right? That's what the church would say. But these people, it says, were ordained to this. Kerema is the Greek word, and it means a decision for or against crime. They were chosen for the negative side.
They were used for a tool.
They were the negative side. Do you think God's mad at them? You think God's mad at Pharaoh? You think God's mad at Judas Iscariot? Or anybody, any other evil or negative person on the face of the earth? No, He's using them as tools. Iron sharpens iron. So does a man his friend's countenance. All the mistakes that they do, all the evil things they do to us, teach us something about ourselves, don't we? We learn from that by rubbing on each other. Okay? That, and it's ungodly men. And this ungodly men that they're talking about, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about ungodly people out there in the world. Who's he talking about? Ungodly people in the church. They've crept in amongst you. Is that what it says? They crept in unawares? Is that what it says? Hello? Is anybody hearing me? He's not talking about people out there in the world. He's talking about people that come into church and pervert everything. They want to make it carnal and talk on intellect, not on the spiritual side of God's Word. You can teach a parrot to say these things that in this book, but they don't have any understanding. Sure, absolutely. But I'm saying the outside picture first. We have to realize that people that come into the fellowship with us, and that's what he's talking about first of all, is they come in and they try to mess everything up. But it also gets in us.
First
the natural, then the spiritual.
Would it be children of God will listen to the voice of the other one?
John 10. My sheep will hear my voice and the voice of another, they'll not follow. That's okay. I know where you're going. You were all right. I got you. I got you, brother.
But that's outside in, inside of the church, and then also it happened inside of us too.
Yeah. Well, the rest of that verse in where it says ungodly men turning the grace, the word turning isn't really turning. It's the Greek word perverting. They're perverting the grace of our God. See, they've made grace just some loosey-goosey, slap you on the back and say, you got it, man. That's all there is to it. That's not what we're talking about. When it says the divine influence in the heart of man, that's something that doesn't take overnight. It takes time for God to change the thinking process. It's not talking about this blood pump. It's talking about your brain. And it takes a long time to break down these concrete walls that have humanity and religion has put in our heads, to break those things down and to get through them and to replace that with that tender, soft heart he talked about. Right? Deuteronomy?
About faith and a thought process.
Yeah. Well, but it's not that quick, though. I mean, it's a turn, but it takes time to get that turn and go back the other direction. And when you do that, everything will come in place, but it takes time. But they pervert the grace. And God doesn't come in and just hang you up like a deer and gut you out and put something new in. No, it's a process of removing one and replacing it with the truth in little pieces, like putting a big puzzle together. But turn it into lasciviousness. Do you know what that big word means? Huh? I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Lewdness.
Well, lewdness is part, and lasciviousness literally means unbridled lust. There's no check. There's no filter in your mind, in your process. Anything you want to do, just do it.
Like anything goes.
Like Sodom and Gomorrah, like he was just talking about. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, same thing. They just had no filter on anything. They just did whatever come in their minds. And there's people that have issues with that today that have minds that they have no filter on them. Part of their brain doesn't function right. So they just do whatever they want to do. And of course we call those people mentally ill. And I mean, they've diagnosed them as that, you know, because of that. There's no filter there. And it says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But the word denying there isn't really true. They're not denying that there's a God. They're just contradicting him. That's what the word should say. They're contradicting the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, he goes on to say, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, that how that all, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Well, when he says, I'll go back, I will put therefore in remembrance, though you once knew this, the word this is the word A-L-L. What did you know? Hello. How many people believe that? That you knew it all?
somebody
knew. I don't mean now. He said you knew. That's past tense. Some people will say they know it all today. They don't. That you once knew, that's past tense, all, that the Lord, having saved or delivered the people of the land out of the land of Egypt, afterwards, or secondly, it should say secondly, not afterwards, destroyed them that believed not. Now, when we say destroyed, most people will have the understanding, because of the way the church has ministered this to them, is that God burned up all these people and they went to hell for eternity. Okay. Not so. Not so. They served a purpose and they passed on through. Everyone on the face of this earth is going to die. Everyone is. But every man in his own order. Right? That's just the way it is. And guarantee you, everybody will be on the other side. In Ecclesiastes 3:20, it states this: when we die, all go to one place. Chapter 6, verse 6 of Ecclesiastes. Do not all go to one place. Chapter 12 tells you where they all go. Verse 12, verse 7. You want all three of them? Which one are you looking for? First one is Ecclesiastes 3:20. Then Ecclesiastes 6:6. And the last one is Ecclesiastes 12:7. And it says, when we die, the dust returns to the earth from where it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Period. Doesn't talk about raising you up, setting you on fire, or any of that foolishness. It's over. You're going back to God. End of story. Okay, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate or their first place, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains. And that word everlasting is not everlasting, it's age abiding. For that period of time, they're in those chains. And they're just in restraints. And it says, under darkness. What do you think that might be? There you go. You're thinking. They're in chains or restraint. They're in the restraints, not of literal chains, but in their minds. In ignorance. To the day of what? The word judgment here is the word crisis. Crisis. Okay? It's crisis in the Greek. A word we transliterate to crisis, C, spelled with a C. It's K in the Greek. Of the great day. Okay? The great day. What great day would it be? No, it's in the culmination. We're talking about the culmination of the world system as we know it today, where everybody is back with God and everything is the way it should be. Okay? That's what he's talking about. He said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, that means burning and submersion, and the cities about them in like manner are the ones similar in character, giving themselves over to fornication or just being unfaithful. Okay? He doesn't literally mean that fornication. He's talking about something being unfaithful. It's not God's pattern of the man and woman. Okay? In Sodom and Gomorrah, we know they had unnatural things going on, didn't they? Is that correct?
Well, if you look at that on the inside, if we have a relationship with the carnal man or the carnal side, we're doing the same thing Sodom and Gomorrah did.
Exactly where I'm going.
Listening to the wrong woman.
If we're having that unfaithful relationship, we're listening to the woman instead of the man.
Yep.
Okay? We're listening to the Christ. We're not listening to the man Christ, but we're listening to the soul of herself. That's not God's plan of the man and woman. Okay? So they went after their own way of doing their own thing. Okay? And they went after strange flesh, are set forth for a what? Not example, but a pattern. He set that forth as a pattern for suffering and the vengeance, and the word vengeance is justice. For suffering and the justice of what? eternal fire, and that's not true. It's positive and negative. Your understanding of fire can be one of two things. It can destroy you, or it can refine you. Okay? And this is a purifying fire. Actually, the word fire is pure, P-U-R, where we get our word purification. Okay? So this is something about purifying. God never said he's going to take 90% of his creation and torment them for hell for eternity. Never said in the book. Preachers invented that to scare you to get your money. Okay? That's just the truth. I don't like it. I don't care. Verse 8 goes on to say this. Likewise also, the word filthy isn't there, but the word dreamers. And what it should say, beguiled with sensual images of misconduct. That's what that word dreamers means. They are beguiled or deceived with sensual images to misconduct. They defile the flesh, despise dominion. What does the word dominion mean? It's talking about, not literally dominion, it's talking about the ones who possess the authority to rule. The ones that's with the authority to rule. They despise the people in authority to rule.
Of course, because they're the ego people.
They don't want to listen to anybody. And they also speak evil of dignities. What's that about? It's actually talking about the same ones that they despise the ones who possess the authority to rule, and it should go on and say, and their glory. So are they talking about worldly rulers? They're talking about sons of God and not giving them respect. That's what he's telling you. And you know, the church system doesn't give God's people really any respect in any way.
Because they put one on the platform.
They put one on a cross several thousand years ago as a pattern also. That's what's going to happen. Okay, verse 9. Yet Michael, and we know what Michael means, one who is like God. Michael, the archangel. Now, you know how many archangels there are?
One.
A lot of people think there's many archangels. The word arch means first. There's going to be one first, isn't there? So the one archangel, the one who is like God. Wonder who that might have been.
Christ.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's the only one. Jesus was the only man to walk on earth. He was like God from the very beginning. When the contending, or what was he doing? Opposing the devil, not contending with, but opposing the devil, which is the carnal mind, he disputed concerning the body of Moses, right? But did not, through dread or fear, bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay. We don't have to go out and try to defeat the church system that's totally screwed up. I preached a message years and years ago. I said, don't throw mama from the train. Mama helped us get going where we was going. You know, the birthing chamber. We went through that and went on. If they're not called to go any further, let them sit there and play in the sandbox, and that's perfectly fine. If that's God's plan, let them play. There you go. Now, verse 10, correct? But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Hello? We're all crazy if we talk about the truth. But what they don't speak about what they do not know. But what they know naturally as brute beasts. The word brute literally is irrational. And God knows it's irrational what that beast will talk about. In those things, they corrupt themselves. They talk about things they have no understanding in. They try to make it to where that what they're saying is the correct thing. But I found that anything that uplifts somebody in their position, they're doing it just for that one thing, for recognition. anybody that's trying to make themselves out to be the greatest, like Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Well, indirectly, that's what they're doing when they're preaching things like, listen to what I got the best message in the land. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of messages in the land, but there's only one message. Just one message. And there's a whole bunch of people perverting that message for gain. And we'll get to that one in a minute too.
The great thing is
it can't be corrupted. See, it can't be bought with money. You read the book of Acts. He told him, he said, your money perish with you. You can't buy this. Well, Paul told him that you can't buy this. Verse 11. Woe. That little word woe means what?
Pain,
grief, and suffering. Woe to them. Pain, grief, and suffering to them because they have gone in the way of Cain. Okay? And it literally speaks, his name Cain means a fabricator or a smith. So his name probably would have been Smith. Cain Smith. Yeah. Well, one of them common names, you know, in the population. Since he was very few of population, that was probably a real common name. Anyway, in the way of Cain, and ran greedily or poured out greedily after the error or the deceit of Balaam. Okay? And Balaam loved money. He was double-minded and was a false teacher. And he did it for what reason? For profits. Okay? You know how many people today are running around starting churches because there's a profit involved in it? There's no profit in God's kingdom except spiritual. It's not a financial thing. Okay? Absolutely not financial. And perished, or literally destroyed themselves, in the gainsaying of Kore. You know what? And that's the rebellion of Kore. Do you know what that word Kore means? Baldness or exposed. Okay.
Baldness,
like bald head. Or exposed. And see, the Jewish people were big about having hair on their head, you know, and on their face. That was their identity.
Gainsaying
was rebellion. In the rebellion of Korah. It says Kore here, but in the Old Testament they called it Korah. Same one. In verse 12 he goes on and says, these are spots. Okay? In your feasts of love. Charity literally means love. Now, you know in Revelation 13 what they talked about something in there? About the leopard spots. You know what he's talking about? This is tied together here. If you look right at the end of this chapter, what's the next book coming up?
Revelation.
Think there might be some tie in there? But Revelation 13, it talks about the leopard and these spots. And that's what he's talking about there. The beast with the spots on them. Where to stop at? When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, they are clouds without water. What do you think he's saying? The water is what? The Word of God. There are clouds that have not the Word of God. It's like you have clouds that go over, rain clouds come over, and you can tell a rain cloud as soon as you see one. It's heavy and black. It's got a load it's carrying. But you see all kinds of clouds come over that's gray, and you see clouds come over that's white. Nothing comes out of them, though, do they? But they're clouds without water, or without the Word, carried about with what? Excuse me?
Wind.
I can't hardly hear you for some reason. I don't know if it's that fan over my head or what. But anyway, it's winds of the earth. There's different types of wind. There's winds of the earth and there's the winds of the what? Of the Spirit, right? And so this is the winds. They're blown about by all the winds of the doctrines of the earth. They are trees. And what do trees represent?
People.
They are trees whose fruit withers. Means it never comes to maturity.
Right up.
Yep. Without fruit. Okay? In Isaiah 5, he said he was looking for the vines, the vineyard, to come bring forth fruit. What did it bring forth?
Stinking berries.
Poisonous, stinking berries. Absolutely. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Twice dead, not dead once, twice.
Twice dead. Yep.
That's the same like you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Yep. If it has withered fruit, you know that's not the
it's
right
like
one.
Giving you spiritual word.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay away from me.
Okay, yeah. Twice dead, wouldn't that be walking back into Egypt?
Well, I'm not going to be safe that's walking back into Egypt. Everything that God plants, it says he plucks up.
But I mean going back.
I know. But it's not saying going back. There's not any hint of it there. I haven't tied it to that anything yet.
Okay.
Good question, but I don't have anything other than what I just said.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll be honest with you. I won't make anything up.
Right,
okay.
We'll ask you to leave if you make it up.
Okay.
I'm out of here. No.
They're raging waves. And when it says raging waves of the sea, it's literally, it's wild, unreclaimed, you know, a wave. It's of the sea of humanity. It's the wild and unclaimed of the humanity. What would the wild and unclaimed of the sea be? What would it really mean? It's the beast nature that cannot be tamed. See, brute beasts are made to be what? Taken and destroyed, according to the book.
Well, if they're not taken, I mean,
they're unclaimed.
Leave them in their natural habitat.
Leave them alone. They're not claimed. God isn't claiming that nature. See, everybody thinks that if God doesn't grab you right now, then you're going to hell. I mean, those are preconceived notions that religion has planted in people's minds for centuries. All this crazy stuff. So people that's never even been to a church still has religion hanging all over them. You don't have to go to church to get that. You get off TVs, magazines, newspapers, radios, everywhere. Billboards everywhere up and down the road. There's all kinds of stuff. And after you see it for so long, your mind says, it's got to be right. Everybody's saying it. I mean, that's the way our minds work. We start picking up on it. Well, it's got to be true. Mom and Dad believed it. Grandpa believed it, so it's got to be true. No, it doesn't. See, I don't care who. I'll challenge anybody if they tell me something. I'll go see what they said and see if it's true or not. Isn't that what good Bereans are supposed to do? See, go check and see if what's said is true. And that was the Apostle Paul. And he said, hey, I don't have any problem with people challenging what I'm saying. Come challenge me. That'll make me work that much harder to be right. And if I made a mistake, I'll apologize and get the correction made. See, that's all.
Can't you also see that any of the ungodly thought processes that are in you, like a raging wave?
Yeah.
And you can't, you don't want to claim, they're unclaimable.
Mm-hmm. You can't slow them down.
They're not what you want. Spit them inside your very mouth.
If they could stop the raging waves during a hurricane, don't you think they would?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's easier to stop that raging hurricane, which is impossible to humanity, than it is to stop the flow of the mind.
Yeah.
That's worse. That's worse to stop than that raging hurricane out there in the ocean.
And that mind causes more destruction.
Absolutely it does. That's just natural trees and houses and things like that. But that mind destroys so many lives and is so powerful that we do not have the authority to stop it. Only the Spirit of God within you has the authority to override and to destroy that natural thinking process.
Well, no wonder whenever a person feeds into those wild thought processes, all of a sudden they find themselves pulling out of the left field.
They're washed off store.
And they're into an awful storm.
What do they call those? Rip currents?
Yeah.
Suck you right out into it so you can't get away from it. And that's a perfect example.
They're kind of inside, they're kind of throwing their hands up, kind of going nuts. I can't.
Absolutely.
I don't know what to do.
And I can sympathize with them. been there, done that. But there's a time came when it was my time to come out.
You know, lifeboat from that point, what we're talking about here, that also then takes you right into the wilderness.
Sure it does, and that's where you're supposed to go. Takes you right into the wilderness. In the wilderness is where you're
with you. One more time.
One more time. I'm going to get you right this time.
Twice dead stuff.
Let's go with the twice dead thing. Yeah.
You can rely on him to get you out of it. You
don't have a chance. No. And it says this raging waves of the sea, what we already discussed, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. Wonder what that might be.
Well, what's the foaming? Out of their own shame.
Foaming. Do you ever see the water, how it foams on the waves? Well, that's what he's still relating to that.
Okay.
He's still talking about that same thing, those raging waves.
How hard it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it stirs up so much, it just makes foam. And foam is unstable. You know what I mean?
Right.
You grab it, it's gone.
Okay.
You know, it's unstable.
You can't grasp anything
in that foam.
It's all images.
It's just false images in your mind.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yep. Okay. Where did I leave off? Oh, okay.
Wandering stars.
Okay. They are... I forgot what it was. I just looked at it.
We were talking about the wandering stars.
Yeah. But the wandering stars are erratic preachers, teachers. Yeah, it says erratic teachers that are teaching all kinds of things. And we were just talking about one this morning, Teresa, about these preachers that run around and they'll say whatever they got to say here, and in the next meeting they go to, they'll say something contradicts it 180 degrees because that's what they wanted to hear there. You know,
yeah.
I call them politicians.
I please.
Yeah, ear ticklers.
Yeah.
Sugar coaters.
There's a lot of ways to say it. Well, we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it says, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, you really think that? Look what he's saying. The blackness, what is blackness? The obscured vision of ignorance into the ages. Not forever. Didn't he say there's a veil over their eyes even to this day?
Wow. I just got that the other day. That's crazy.
Hmm. And then he says, and Enoch, okay, which is dedicated, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 saints. And that's not what it says, and you know that, so I'm going to straighten it up. He said he prophesied, behold, the Lord appears in 10,000 of his saints. 10,000s, not just 10,000, but 10,000s, plural, many thousands, okay? But he's appearing in them, not coming with them.
When he says the seventh from Adam, I know generations. I mean, it goes through generations.
Seven generations.
And it says Enoch was dedicated. Adam was actually dedicated.
Sure. But he was the seventh one past Adam. So actually, tell me what number that makes.
Seven.
No.
Seven times.
Eight's perfection.
Eight, new beginnings.
There it is, the new beginning. He's the one that started the new one, the new beginning. He was a type of Christ. Okay?
Seven. Perfection.
Yeah, but eight is the new beginning.
I understand.
But the first seven was done.
Adam
was one.
Of the new beginning, right?
It was a perfection, and then the new beginning from the old order.
Right.
This is the plan that he set up. See, we don't see the perfection in Adam.
No.
We don't see the perfection in Adam.
Seven later would be eight. So he's
new beginning.
Into the new beginning.
See, that's the new covenant coming. That's a new covenant coming.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Okay.
And see, and Adam was imperfect. Everybody knows that. All this imperfection. He's showing you that in yourself, you're imperfect without the eighth one. See? That's why God rested in 7 days. The eighth day he rested, rather. The work's done. It's already finished in that. Now, let the new begin. Okay? there's a lot more in this book.
That's good stuff, ain't it?
There's a lot more stuff in here than what people think is in this.
You gotta have some background to it.
Oh, you can't just read it and figure it out.
You gotta have a lot more background than Kansas.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, these next two verses behind here, 14, 15, and 16, all are tied together, okay? It says, to execute what?
Judgment.
Now, look at me. What did he come for?
First.
On the hill of Golgotha. To execute judgment on the world.
Right.
Not on the sons of men, sons of God. It's the world. It's not about even all the people in the world. It's about the worldly way things are done. The cross didn't kill people. It killed the ungodly thinking. What's the other name for Golgotha? The place of the skull. He didn't come to execute judgment upon humanity. He came to execute judgment upon the way of the natural man, Adam, thinking. See, that's the beauty of the thing. But judgment is positive and negative. And the first thing humans think of, punishment. But Jesus came, and this word, charesis here, judgment, guess what it means? Positive or negative. It can be, you go before a judge, he can give you guilty or not guilty. And when Jesus was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Now, who do you think would cross that?
Positive.
It's a positive. I mean, how could you mess it up? Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He was talking about the entire world. He died for the sins of the whole world. But see, they don't put it together because they got veils over their eyes. Just like we talked about up there in verse 10 through 13. That's okay. That's okay. But anyway, he came to do this, to execute judgment. He came to go to the cross, did he not? He said he came with the foreknowledge of God to come to the cross. I told that to a man one time, and he stood up and was going to knock me out, he said. In my own home, when I told him that. He was a guest in my home. Oh, he just got furious over it. He said, God did not kill Jesus. I said, went clear over. He didn't catch it. I said, the book says he came with the foreknowledge of God to go to the cross. I don't know what else you could interpret that as, but he did, like most people. But anyway, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are what? Soulish. Not ungodly, but soulish. Now, there's the word ungodly used multiple times in this verse, but they're all not the same word, okay? That are soulish among them concerning all their what? Not ungodly, but here it's wicked. All their wicked deeds or works, which they have ungodly, and literally it's wicked again, all the wickedly committed, and concerning all of their hard speeches, which wicked sinners have spoken against him. Him who? Jesus. Or God, whichever way you want to say it. Mm-hmm. These are murmurers, literally grumblers, and complainers or discontented people, okay? Walking or living according to what? Their own lust, to their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of what? Or literally, their benefit or usefulness. Yep. Get that money. Get that money. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there will be, not should be, will be false teachers in the last time. Who what? Not should walk, but would live according to their own wicked lusts. That's what it should say. Anybody need any more to go over that or anything?
No, we just read the experience those people.
Yeah. Well, they're there for our benefit.
Yes.
They're not there to do it to you, but to do it for you.
Yes.
I'm going to read that again, 18. How that they told you there will be false teachers in the last time who would live according to their own wicked lusts. These be they, or these are the ones who separate themselves. They are sensual, or they are soulish, not having the Spirit. Hello. How many people say, oh, it's the Spirit of God, because I felt goosebumps. I never found that in the book anywhere. When you got goosebumps, God's present. You see, that's what they believe that. They've been told that. Can you feel it? No. What am I supposed to feel? Yeah. If you don't feel those goosebumps, then you don't have God. Really? Well, how come it don't say something like that? I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. Probably, I'm not the first one that ever thought that.
You're probably not the most popular one at the picnic table.
No, I'm not. I understand that. Well, Jesus wasn't either, so I'm good company. That's all right. But you, verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Not Holy Ghost. The word ghost isn't there. It says hagios pneumas is the two words. Holy Spirit. That's 16th century English and the spiritual, that's the wrong word. The Pentecostal and apostolic realms, they love to use that Holy Ghost. You know. Oh, they love it. You know. And people that use that word, I know they've never had an experience with God, truly had an experience to where they know God as love.
They're the ones that get the goosebumps.
They're the goosebump people. And it's sad. They're sincerely sincere people.
Yes.
They're just sincerely wrong people. I mean, that's all. They're just sincerely wrong. God hasn't given them the ability. Can't knock them down.
Right.
I just hate to hear them talk, you know, because they're speaking words of deception to people.
That's the only way they have been hooked to gauge.
That's it. That's it. They don't know.
Or did Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing?
That's exactly what he said. Verse 21, he goes on and says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Now let me read that, what it should say. Keep yourselves in the love of God, giving access to yourself for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into the ageless life. That's what it should say. I read it again. I like it. Keep yourselves in the love of God, giving access to yourself for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into the ageless life.
Doesn't that sound like, you know, giving access to yourself, like you have that ability?
It's like, wait a minute, well, no. Well, you can resist, but just like Jonah, you know, he resisted for a while, didn't he? Can you win? No. God's purpose is going to prevail. But it's just like a man and a woman having this deep, intimate relationship and you being the bride of Christ, open yourself to receive the man. It's the same pattern. That's what it's all about. It's a pattern of the same thing. So it's that intimacy that you can only have, that personal relationship. I hear church people all the time talk about, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I can't help but saying it that way because it's, yeah, it's my bad, whatever. It's irritating to hear people talk about that because I know they don't, because I just sit and watch them and watch what they do and listen to what they say, and I know they don't. They have learned words like parrots learn words. And somebody work in the house, hello, hello, the bird will say to them, you know, he don't know who they are. He's not really talking to them. He doesn't know what he's saying. He just makes sounds because he's mimicking what somebody else said. And that's what these people are doing. And like I say, I feel sorry for them. They're sincerely seeking something, but if it's not God's timing, is it going to make any difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
just,
it's
not all
the agape relationship, it's the phileo relationship.
Exactly right. And it says, and of some have compassion. And it should say this, and the ones that truly have compassion use discernment.
There you go. There's the big thing.
I know.
That's for us.
See? And the ones that truly have compassion use discernment. Why didn't they write that in the book? You know, it's so simple. It's so easy. If I could find it, anybody could find it. I'm not an Einstein. But it wasn't meant to be for everybody, that's all. And it said, and others deliver, not with fear, but deliver in fear, deliver from fear is what it should say, really. Pulling them out of the fire, out of fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, what's that fire doing? Huh? It's purifying them. If he's talking about you delivering them, it's not as punishment, is it? Okay? You deliver them out of the fire and hate that garment of flesh, spotted with flesh. This stuff here, you know, there's no purpose for it except the mode of transportation. When we get through with our traveling in this so-called world, we have no need of it anymore, do we? We'll be just like him. And there was instances all through the scriptures where they say he was translated from this place to that place. I just think he has, in the realm of the spirit, there is no limitations on your travel or anything else. Yeah. I think there will be some limitation into the fastback, because it says that the ones that overcome have a right to go in and out and find pasture, and the rest don't. I think there will be an access to the throne of God, to the end of the kingdom of God, this very intimate place with the ones that he has called. Everyone will be there, but everybody won't have the same liberty to do what the sons of God he's called to do.
Will
do.
Some will have a gold card.
Huh?
Some will have a gold card.
A gold card?
Gold card.
Oh, I thought you said a golf cart.
That too. Okay.
A golden golf cart.
Okay, whatever.
For the streets of gold, right?
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Come on.
Get them goosebumps going here now.
Yeah, oh, I got it. Go on. It's a little cold.
Okay. Verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you not from falling, but without sin. Okay? And to present you without spot or blemish, not faultless, but without spot or blemish, before the presence of his glory in what? Extreme joy. Wonder who that might be. The Holy Spirit. To the only wise God, our deliverer, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and what? Into all ages is what it actually says. There's actually three words there where it says ever, amen. It says eis, pos, aeon. They left the word out. They just eliminated that word and wrote the way they wanted it. But it should say into all ages.
All generations.
Huh?
Into all generations.
All generations, all ages. Whenever he's done, it'll be over with. But until then, it's covered. Everything's covered. Any questions or comments? I'm done. But I will answer any questions or discuss whatever you desire. Did you cut that off?